Blog Talk Radio.
Your voice, nothing you cannot do. Never made from your own blood. There is joy in peace and hope. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you in all the earth. No one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you. You command me. You command me. You're the faithful God. Oh, for me someday. You command me. You command me. You're the faithful God. Oh, for me someday. I'm so amazed. There's nothing you cannot do. We can the Lord. There is joy.
God, a mighty God, you do awesome things. Holy Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name, and oh God, we exalt you even right now, Lord Jesus. But this is the day that you have made, and we are rejoicing, we are glad, exceedingly glad, Lord Jesus. We ask, Father, that you you would move by your spirit today, that you would have your way. Lord Jesus, none of us, but all of you, have your way, Jesus. Get this Bluetooth tied in, and we can go on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, how we love Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You are worthy to be praised, Jesus. There is no one like you, Jesus. We honor you this morning, oh God. On this Sabbath morning, we ask you, God, to forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We ask you, Lord, to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we pray now blessings over this wheat of the field that represent the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and this fruit of the vine that represent his blood that was shed for us at Calvary. We ask, O God, that you will transform these articles from the natural to the supernatural, that as we partake of these today, O God, that we will partake of natural healing to our body. O God, supernatural healing that come from heaven, even as we receive healing, spiritual healing, by your spirit and through your word. Father, we ask you, Lord God, to touch the airways this morning. Touch the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Lord, those that are listening by cell phone, computers, or however they're listening, wind up radios. Lord, we ask you to heal their bodies, heal the members of their bodies, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you heal them internally and externally. And Father, we are careful, oh God, to give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. We're going to start right after this Holy Communion. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's take, break, and eat. Hallelujah. After the same manner also, thank you, Jesus, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together under condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when they come. May the Lord add a blessing of the reading of this word and to this holy communion. Let us drink together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. We are thanking him and we are praising him for all that he has done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do, because he is a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. And he works on our behalf. He does things on our behalf. Hallelujah, Jesus. We just thank God. We thank the Father for the Son. Hallelujah, glory to God. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, you are wonderful. Jesus, you are a miracle-working God. Glory to God. How you do all these things for us, Lord. Oh, God, more than we can comprehend, oh, God. But you never stop doing. You never stop. The songwriter said you never stop working. You're always working for us. You're always working things out for us. Glory to God. You're always working out things for us. Oh, how we bless you, Lord. We are going to get ready to go in to this message here. The Lord allow us to pull up last night. And we thanking the Lord for keeping us, because we are not giving up and we are not giving in. That is the key. We are going to be ministering in Barbados very shortly. In another month, if the Lord stays the same, we will be there and we'll be ministering the word of God. Hallelujah. We're going to spend some time with our friends and families and enjoy the Lord Jesus while we are there. Hallelujah. Dear. Glory to God. Now, in this text that we are reading coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are talking, this is what the Lord gave unto me on last night. And he asked a very serious question. And the question that the Lord asks is, are you prepared for losing this earthly body? Are you prepared to lose for losing this earthly body? Something that you got to, we have to think about. It is no joke, because we're not going to stay here. We're not coming. We didn't come here to stay. We didn't come here to stay. So in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, start at verse 1, Paul says, for I know that when this earthly tent, our body, we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. That is a powerful, powerful word right there. Oh, my God, when you hear that word, when you read that word, when you say that word, that ought to just energize you. Know that you have a heavenly hope, a heavenly hope, that when you die, you're going to have a heavenly body, a heavenly place to go to. Glory to God. If you live right down here, that's the key. If we live right down here. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Hear what Paul is saying. Even though we're here, we're preaching and teaching, and with all the stuff that's going on, we grow weary. We grow weary in this earthly tent or earthly body. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I just want to go. Because when you look around and you see all the things that are happening, you say, I don't really want to stay in this earthly tent. I want to leave here. I want to go to be with my Savior. But then when you think about it, you have a calling. We have a calling. We have an assignment. We are ambassadors according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we see that we are ambassadors or representatives of the kingdom of God here on earth. So we have a job to do. Having just discussed human frailty in chapter 4, verse 7, Paul talks about believers' future hope of an eternal heavenly dwelling. He contrasts the earthly house with groans and is burdened with the heavenly dwelling with the Lord. Paul notes that the Holy Spirit acts as a down payment of this future hope. Verse 5. In chapter 1, verse 22, he says here, verses 4, let's read that again. Verses 3. He said, for we put on heavenly bodies, we will not be spirit without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this and has guaranteed, he has given us his Holy Spirit. God let us know that we are not here helpless. He gave us his Spirit to keep us while we're waiting for that heavenly body. Glory to God. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Even though we are in this earthly realm, and we are walking around, we're teaching and preaching the gospel, and we are having a good time, eating and drinking, having some of the best things to eat and drink, and best places to go, the best people to hang with, we are not at home. We are passing through. But while we are passing through, we endeavor to do something to leave a mark. They call it a legacy. We want to leave a legacy that people, that while we leave here, the ones that behind will still be talking about how God changed her, how God changed him. I remember when he was this, when she was this, that. But God changed her. God delivered her. God delivered him. This is what we want to do. And because that God has done this, he is getting the glory. The Bible says, yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. See, that's our main important thing. Even if we're in heaven or we're still on the earth, our goal, our objective, our mindset is to praise the Lord, to praise him and to please him. We must not all stand. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Think about it. There's no escape. You're going to be chastised for whatever good or bad you have done while you were living here in this earthly tent. Verse 11 says, because we understand our faithful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and we hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. In other words, we're not putting ourselves on pedestals. We're not boasting about the job or the assignment. We're not boasting. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. See, most folk, teachers and preachers and people, they talk more about their ministry, how big their ministry is, how many people they have, where they live, and the stuff that they're doing, instead of about how they love the people of God. You know, how they desire that more will come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. That's love. Because it's love that drew us to him. When we look at the cross, all we see is love. Hallelujah. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Hallelujah, glory to God. No, some folk might look at us and say, they're crazy to continue that ministry. People are leaving the ministry and going doing their own thing. But they're still teaching and preaching. Well, we're teaching and preaching because we have a love for God and a love for God's people. Hallelujah, glory to God. We're not here raising money. One preacher said, well, Pastor, you don't talk enough about money. Well, because that's not my mindset. When God want me to have some money, he give me a job. He said, go then do that little small job. You'll have some money. Pay some people. Listen to what he says. The apostle is speaking to us. Hallelujah. Either way, Christ loves control us. Since we believe that Christ died for us, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. See, the old life no longer has power over us. It no longer has dominion over us because the Christ in us, the Holy Ghost in us, is who's keeping us in the midst of all the storms that we are facing. We are talking about, are you prepared for losing this earthly body? Are you prepared? Because we can't keep this thing forever. We are sojourners. We are passing through. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we have to get our lifestyle ready for leaving this earth. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, I want to live forever. Well, if you want to live forever, you're going to have to start living a godly life here on this in this realm. So Paul makes it very clear, you know. He makes it very clear in this 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses, verses 16. So we have stopped evaluating our others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Hallelujah, glory to God. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Our main objective as believers is to allow Christ to be seen through us. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we'll come back to this in the Logos. Chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, And remember, we're talking about, are you prepared for losing this earthly body? In other words, are you saved and sanctified? Are you obedient to the word of God? Are you living according to the instruction of God? That's what it's saying. That's what God asked for last night when he gave me this word. Are we living according to his instructions? Are we obedient to his word? His word is his instructions. Are we just picking and choosing what we want to use, what makes us feel good, what makes other people say we are great preachers, we are great teachers, we are great evangelists, great prophets. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. He says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Do you hear what he's saying? Hallelujah. You cannot inherit the things of God living like a devil. That's just plain English. We cannot inherit godly things living earthly in an earthly way. We have to be changed. We have to be transformed. We have to be renewed from inside out, not outside in. We are dressing up. We're putting on the finest dresses, the nicest wigs. Our fingernails are done. Our lips are done. Our nice shoes. All of the stuff that looks good to the earthly eyes. But what about what God sees? He's looking at our hearts. Is our heart really changing? Are we still full of malice, full of jealousy, contentment? All of the things that comes against God, his way of life for us. So Paul continues and says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hallelujah. We all need to change. We all shall be changed. If we continue with Jesus, we're going to be changed because he's changing us, taking us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Every day we are getting a little bit more like him. Hallelujah. Our attitudes are changing. Our mindsets are changing. The way we talk to people, the way we respond, the way we have an attitude to help people. Hallelujah. Sometimes we are coming more like the Good Samaritan. We're willing and ready to help somebody. We're always ready to help somebody without expecting a return. He says, listen, this is good. He says, in a moment, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. He says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're looking for this thing. Because see, once we get to that place where we have the heavenly body, there's no more death, no more sickness, no more weeping. Hallelujah. No more crying, no more mourning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is the word of God. He says, he talks about the earthly house, the tent, the body which is susceptible to death and decay. It will be destroyed, refers to death. The house not made by hand is eternal, either refers to the resurrected body believers received when Christ returns. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 50 to 54 we just read. The corporate body of Christ, the new Jerusalem, or the temple in the city, Revelation chapter 21, verse 10 and 22. The dwelling from heaven, but to be clothed. Paul described this transformation in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This clothing is the internal clothing. Hallelujah. We have to be changed from the inside. Everybody I'm looking at these preachers last night on YouTube, they're trying to look so much like the world. It's pathetic. Oh, they got rings in the ears, rings in the nose, rings on all kind of places that you don't want. They got the tattoos all over them. You don't have to do that to draw people to Christ. He does the drawing. He said no one can come to the Father except he draws them. What we need to do is live this lifestyle that identifies with God, a holy lifestyle. Hallelujah. We have to cut loose the things that have taken us out of focus. Hallelujah, glory to God. He gave us a down payment so that we can have the confidence that we need, that what God said is real. He said that I give you the Holy Ghost. That's in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, verse 5, glory to God. Now the one who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us a down payment, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He gave us a down payment. Hallelujah. Remember in Acts 2 and 38, when we repent and we believe in Jesus Christ, we baptize in Jesus' name, he gives us the gift of the Holy Ghost. Automatically, he starts to bless us and giving us help so we don't have to go through the tulips, skipping through the tulips on our own. Yes, we may go through the tulips, but we're not by ourselves. He is with us, watching over us and keeping us, protecting us and shielding us from all hurt, harm, and danger. Listen to what he says. In the body. It refers to life in the physical body, not the church as the body of Christ, but in your body, in my body. Therefore, although we are always confident and know that while we are at home in this body, see, I'm at home in this body, my spirit, man. The person that I am is in this body. This flesh is not who I am. Who I am is the spirit that dwells inside of this. This is why the spirit never dies. This flesh will give out at some point in time. It will become tired and weary and just fall apart. Drop down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was just saying something and I think it was in Mississippi. It happened a little while. And this young man had everything in his before him. And they said 3 truckloads of men, possibly KKK, had chased him till he could run no more. He was on feet. Young person of color. And they dismembered him, cut off his head, his arms, his feet, torso. And as I was watching that stuff, and then they said that the sheriff, the lieutenant, the superintendent of that particular area, said there was no foul play. There was no foul play. A young man in his prime have all his future before him, is without a head. He is without feet. He's without hands. And there was no foul play. The evil is so prevalent in the earth right now. I tell you, we have to pray. People of God need to pray and stop thinking about riches, stuff, materialistic stuff. God going to supply all our needs according to riches and glory. But we have to focus on the assignment that God has given us. We got to pray for this world that we're living in. If he finds 50 people, he'll save it. 40, 30, 20, 10 righteous people, he'll save it. But it looks like people are switching sides.
Man, we're saying this morning that they have made, they have set up the system so much that they frustrate you, that you're not able to take care of your family, that you end up doing the things that they're doing. They frustrate you. They set up the system this way. But that shall not be our portion. God gave us the Spirit so we can be confident, guaranteed, that he's coming back for us. Hallelujah. We got to be prepared to leave this body. But while we are preparing, we have to make a conscious decision to live, truly live for Christ. Don't let some person call you to break. You may bend, but you don't break. Stay flexible. My pastor told me years ago, he said, son, if you stay flexible, you'll never get bent out of shape. We have to stay flexible in God. Hallelujah. Don't let people cause us to give up and throw in the towel and say, I ain't preaching no more. I don't want to be, I don't really want to part of that ministry. I don't want to go to that church anymore. You can't let that. That's the devil. And the preacher said this morning, he says, so many, he called them so-called believers, are leaving the church. He said, they're just leaving. Hallelujah. He said, because the world has confused them so much, because we know that confusion don't come from God, because he's not the author of confusion. So it's coming from the enemy, and the believers, or so-called believers, to just give up on God. Just give up. Say, well, ain't that working out for me over there in that church, so I might as well go on and live my life. Well, after living your life, there's something coming behind that. It's called judgment. It is called judgment after I live my life the way that I choose to live it, contrary to God, there's judgment coming. Because he said, whether I do good or do bad, judgment's coming anyway. He told you that. We read it here in the book, in 2 Corinthians. He said to be absent from the body likely alludes to an intermediate period between a believer's death and the final resurrection of all people. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. When believers die, they leave the physical body and enter the presence of Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. Be acceptable to him. We got to live an acceptable life to Christ Jesus. This morning I listen to the worship, and then we partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ here on the Sabbath day. We are excited about what God has done for us, what he is doing for us, and what he will do for us. We are excited because God has given us a gift that no one, I don't know about you all on the line, God has given us a gift that no one else can give us. You might be able to buy me a robe or a suit or some shoes, or you can take me to the barber shop to get my head squared, or you can give me some money, but you can never give me the Holy Ghost. God give us the greatest gift to keep us in the midst of all that's going on. Even when they're talking about nuclear destruction, I'm not worried about that, because they can only destroy what they can destroy. But they can't destroy what God is protecting. Believe what I'm telling you. They cannot destroy what God is protecting. They might burn your body, but they can't burn your soul. You have to get a mindset. We have to get a mindset like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let the king know we're not going to eat his food. We're not going to drink his wine. And we're not going to bow to his statue. Hallelujah. And let it be known, even if God don't show up to save us, we know that he's able to. We know that he's able to. We have to have that mindset. We're not going to bend. We're not going to break to the stuff that they're trying to put over on us, trying to control our women and our children. Hallelujah. We're not going to bend to that stuff and break to it. We must live an acceptable life to Christ Jesus. Paul and his companions oriented their lives to please God in every way. He encouraged the Corinthian believers to regard time on earth as profitable. We live in a life for God.
People may come against us and ridicule us, but we got to always have the mindset that God is pleased with us. Like, no, I always like to bring in no. I love no. Even though all the hell is breaking out around us, our focus is on doing the will of God. What did God call you to do? Did he call you to be an usher? What usher will? What did God call you to do? Did he call you to be the janitor in the church building? Keep the bathroom clean. Keep the sanctuary clean. Keep the altar clean. Well, keep it clean. Do it to your best because you're working for God. But you go off and let the devil tell, well, the pastor don't call out my name regularly enough, often enough over the microphone, so I'm not keeping the altar clean. That way she used the altar. So I'm not going, people come in there, let them fix their chairs, let them put the pews up the way they want to. You see, because you're not working for God. You're not living to God. You're living to please people. You want to please people. When you get the mindset of pleasing God, you begin to do things in a different way. You operate in a different way. You're working for your boss, the boss man. He said, well, he the boss man. He signed the check. But he's not the one keeping me on this job. God is. And whatever I'm doing, even when I'm out there, I went over there yesterday to do a job. Well, that's not a job. We had some stuff that I installed last year, some this year, some filters, because this lady's water heater was putting so much stuff coming in from the city. And her water was messing up all the faucets in the house, and I had to change some faucets in the kitchen and stuff in the bathroom. And one of the filters was leaking. I could, everything tightened up all the way, and still water coming through the top, so I had to go. And I bought a new machine. I bought a new machine that makes my job real easy. So when I told her, I said, Lydia, I'm going to close the garage door. I said, there's no charge for you today. It's out of warranty. But she is a good customer. You know, it's a good customer. And sometimes you got to give her something in order to get something. You know, if she gets some, but she got some problem, and I told her, I said, well, I'm going out the country for a while to spend some time with my sister, because she's getting old and I'm getting old, and I want to spend some time with her. I haven't seen her in a while, since I think 2009 or 7. And so I said, if you have a problem, if it's not a serious problem, you can wait till I come up. But if it's a serious cause, of calling another partner, another plumber. She said, okay, Dave. Because I know if she has a problem, I'm in this country, I'm here, she ain't going to call anybody else. Everything you do for people don't have to cost, don't have to make money. Sometimes you have to give a little to get a little. I know if she gets a problem, she's going to call me. How does she know that I'm not going to try to take advantage of her? I make sure she's happy and I'm happy. We must appear before God. All of us will. Paul told us this in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. He said, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. That means that even if you live a righteous life, there's some time in your life that you sin, because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. So you're still going to get chastised. He's not going to send you to hell, but he's going to chastise you. He's a father. And a father always, he don't let children, his sons and daughters escape a correction. A good father would correct all his children for whatever they're doing. Say, well, that's my let this go. No, a good father's not going to do that. Because you know one mistake going to lead to another mistake if you don't correct it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know why we're in so much a trouble, a problem in the United States right now? And you know, I love America. That's why I became a citizen. You know why? Why we got so much problem, we have so much problems in the United States of America? Because the government has taken away the parental custody of training from the parents. We can't chastise our own children that God gave to us. If we do, they got something called CPS, Child Protective Service. They will come to your house, come to your house and snatch your children out of your house, and if possible, arrest you and put you in jail. And if they feel that something is going wrong, they'll take the children out of the house and they will check you out. They will check every move that you make. They'll follow your footprints to see where you went, what you did, and what you say, how you talk, and all. And they'll even talk to your neighbors. I had a problem like that one time. I was talking to my son. We had owned this condominium in Virginia. We never beat our kids, but we talked to them great stuff. And this lady that lived underneath me called the CPS on me, and I had to go to this meeting with them CPS people. But they don't tell you who the person is, because they have to protect the people of anonymity. So what happened is, I find out through the grapevine that this lady underneath, because she's a motor mouth, and she is a nosy person, she had called CPS and told them that I was beating my son. And my son had to tell my daddy. My daddy never touched me. My daddy talked to us, though. He talked to us and let us know we're going wrong. But my daddy never striked me. And that's why the children, this is why our nation is so bad, because you can't even whip the daylights out of your children when they're going bad. In the Caribbean, Lord have mercy. You in Jamaica, Trinidad, or Barbados, or St. Kitts, or Antigua, St. Lucia, one of them, Leeward Islands, one of them. Oh, my Lord. You can hear the whip. You can hear the, sometimes, you know, my mama, she said, boy, you acting a fool, go then get me a stretch, or what do you call it. And sometimes she had a belt. Sometimes she had a shoe. Sometimes she had a broomstick. And if sometime I get in the living room and while my mama's talking, I'll be murmuring, she'll throw a shoe through the house, and don't care where I am, that shoe will find my head. But, you know, I respected her because, you know what? It taught me how to respect my elders. If it didn't have to be my mother or my father, I respected them. So what he said, we got to appear before God. And God will judge all individuals, including believers, not only in terms of salvation, but also with respect of eternal rewards for deeds performed while on earth. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 to 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 15. When Paul was in Corinth, he was brought before the judgment seat by him, Acts chapter 18 and 12. And in Rome, in Romans, Paul used the judgment seat of God to show that believers should not judge others. Romans chapter 14 and 10. Here, Paul uses it to encourage the Corinthian believers to live lives that are acceptable or pleasing to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 9. Now, Paul explained the purpose of his ministry, reconciliation. He first notes that he is not commending himself. In other words, Paul is not putting himself on a pedestal. Everything that Paul does points back to Jesus. That's what we should be doing as preachers. Instead, he is being controlled by the love of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 12 to 14. Paul emphasizes that Christ's death was for all people, verse 15 to 17. Through Christ, God provided reconciliation for all people, making all those who are in Christ a new creation. Paul represents this as the purpose of his ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul represents this as the purpose of his ministry as he urges the Corinthians to be reconciled to God, verse 18 to 21. It's important. See, our main objective is pointing people to Jesus Christ, letting them know that he is the way, the truth, and that he's life, that no one can come to the Father except through him. Let them know that he died on the cross, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that God raised him up from the dead, and that he did all this for sinful humanity. You and me, us, the world. He didn't have to. He could have started him and said, let there be light. And he said, and there be new light. He could have said, look, let's make new mankind. Let us just destroy all this stuff like he did in time with Noah. Let's just save a few people. Let's just save a few animals, a few birds. Rehabitate the earth again. He said he could have done that all over, but he said he loved us so much. He loved us so much that he sent, gave his only begotten son to lay down his life. Do you hear me? Nobody took his life. He laid it down for you and I, for us, so that we could have access to the tree of life, that we could come to the fountain of life, which is Jesus, and drink fresh, clean, spiritual water, like the woman at Jacob's well. Jesus did this. The Father did this. Paul says, not commending ourselves. I'm not boasting. I'm not putting myself on the front line. If I do boast, I boast about the Jesus that took me out of the crack house, took me out of the whorehouse, the one who delivered me out of darkness and drew me into his marvelous light, because I was lost in sin. I was heading straight to bust hell wide open. But God made it possible. He says, I'm going to give that young man another chance. He don't really need it. He don't need it, but I'm going to give it to him. He's living the way he wants to, but I'm going to pull him out of darkness. He thought he was happy, but I'm going to show him what happiness, what joy is. I'm going to let him experience my love. My unconditional love, that's what God did for me and for you and for us. He allowed us to experience, I don't care, you may not have smoked crack cocaine, you may not run to the whole house like I did, but you sin. And God said, I'm going to forgive your sin, I'm going to give you a chance. Hallelujah, glory to God. You can walk on the streets of gold with me. Hallelujah. This is how much God loved us. While we were yet sinning, acting a fool. The fear of the Lord. It involves reverence for Christ, his mercy and sacrifice. Proverbs chapter 14 and 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and 14. Fearing God in the Old Testament was very important. They reverenced God even when they was messing up. Because even when they messed up so much, they will always go back and say, oh, we sinned against God. We sure enough did. We sinned against God. You see, when David was messing up so bad, he said that he sinned against God and only God. And God had the right, just paraphrasing, to right to judge him however he chose to. And then David asked God to create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit. God, he wanted to change, like Paul is talking about here. He wants to be renewed. And some of us get so comfortable in our mess that we don't realize that we need to get out of the mess if we're going to get the heavenly body, if we're going to have that heavenly robe. Those who boast in appearance, Paul's opponents may have boast in their rhetorical skill. Jews. Paul insists that such boasting is not profitable. He instead boasts in his weakness because that is where Christ's power is displayed more clearly. 1 Corinthians 1 and 29. 1 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Out of all senses, some of the individuals in the Corinthian church may have regarded Paul as crazy or foolish. How many people think that we are crazy? Because we get up every Sunday morning and go to the house of the Lord, or Saturday morning, or Wednesday night, whenever we choose to. Sometimes we go there 7 days a week. And folks say, they got to be crazy. 7 days a week, they're in the Bible. They don't have no... They make no time for anything else? No, what else is there? There's nothing greater than praising God and seeking God. Nothing greater. You know, even when I have to go away from this ministry and go out in the world and work,
I'm still in ministry. I may not be on the line teaching or preaching, but guess what? I'm ministering to somebody in that house, that building, where I am. I'm telling them about Jesus every chance I get. Ministry is not only in the building. We have to be humble. We got to understand that God has called us to that place where he can exalt us, a place of humility so he can exalt us. And in verse 13 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for if we are out of our senses, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. So some of the individuals in the Corinthian church may have regarded Paul as crazy or foolish. Alternatively, Paul could be alluding to the painful letter he sent to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, which may have negatively shaped their view of him. Paul had a deep love for Christ. After his encounter to Damascus, on the road to Damascus, his love for Christ has quadrupled. Because he got to know the God that he thought he knew, but he didn't really know him. But when he had that encounter, what he says, he got called him Lord. Who art thou, Lord? He begins to talk to him as Lord, an upper class S. That means that he knew it was God, it was King Jesus that he was talking to. And he was ready to do whatever the Lord would have him to do. And see, when you have a personal, spiritual encounter with God, your life begins to change. He had this deep love. The Greek text here could refer to the love that Christ has for people or the love they have for him. He died for all mankind, all humankind, all humanity. Probably means that Christ died for all people without distinction, gender, social status. However, not all receive the benefits of his atoning death. Only those who believe the gospel and live for Christ do. Now, I see a lot of people can go to the house of the Lord, and they can sing and dance. But if they don't believe the gospel, and if they don't live the gospel, hallelujah, in obedience, they won't experience the benefits that come with the gospel. There's a lot that come with the gospel. It's a lot. Peace. Oh, joy unspeakable, full of glory. When you can lay down and you hear some stuff going on, but it doesn't trouble your spirit. Because you laying down in the peace of the Lord. I remember when I was in the world, way back then doing stuff. Man, and I would hear stuff. I'd be ducking and all that kind of stuff. You don't know if it's coming at you. You see the police lights or the ambulance. You wondering if they're chasing you. You don't know if it's an ambulance or not. You just see the flashing light. You had no peace. I had no peace. But now when I see them, I don't even look at the police when they come approach. Approaching my vehicle, and we come. I'm going south, and they're going north. I want to look at them. Why? Because my spirit operates different now. My lifestyle is different now. You see what I'm saying? So you know, I'm not bothered by that stuff. So Paul had a difference once he had this kind of encounter. The one who died for them, Christ. Death breaks the power of sin so that believers may live for the purposes of God. Romans 3 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 16. So then, from now on, we know no man from a human point of view. If indeed we have known Christ from a human point of view, but now we know him this way, no longer. See, oh my God. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. See, we don't look at people through the human eyes anymore. When we look at one another, we look at each other through the eyes of Christ. That's why we can love unconditional. Unconditionally, we can love each other. We can extend the forgiveness of God to each other, the mercy of God to each other, because we are seeing them through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of God. Hallelujah. From a human point of view, it indicates accessing someone according to the common person's value and standards. So within the Corinthian church evaluate Paul and his ministry according to the perspective and standard. Now, know Christ from a human point before choosing to follow Jesus. People and his other Jewish companions, Paul and his other Jewish companions evaluate Jesus as his messianic claim according to their own standards. And Christ refers to being in union with Christ through the Holy Ghost. Those who believe in Christ participate in his death and resurrection. Believers are transformed in Christ as part of God's renewal of all creation. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 to 25. As a new creation believer, believers grow into the likeness of Christ. In other words, they begin to have the same characteristics, the same desires, the same love. Hallelujah. It is hard for us to hit our brothers and sisters when you're grown into Christ, because that's who Christ is. He is love. He is love. He is compassion. He is mercy. He is grace. He is forgiveness. But, we sometimes are at a place that we don't recognize that we are fallen, because we are not doing things the way God said to do things. We are doing things the way we want to do things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Listen what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 4, he says, some of them in whom God, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See? Some of them are blind. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Even as by the Spirit. Hallelujah, glory to God. The Spirit is in us to help us to become who Christ called us to be. We can't do it on our own. Colossians chapter 3 and 3 and 10. And have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. See that? Romans 12 and 2. It's all talking about changing. Listen, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, this thing got to happen from the inside. If we're going to begin with become like Christ and less like this world, there has to be a change that manifests from the inside. Refers to the end of hostility between God and people. Christ's death provided the means of reconciliation. His suffering made peace between God and humanity possible. Isaiah chapter 53 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. The ministry of reconciliation that was given to Paul presents Christ's sacrifice as the basic reconciliation and the source of his apostolic vocation. Excuse me. Verses 14 to 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He wants the Corinthians to understand the centrality of Christ in his ministry in contrast to other teachers who boast about themselves. See, Paul wanted the Corinthians to put Christ first, as all of us ought to be putting Christ first. It's not about us. It's all about him. And when we realize that, we begin to see that our ministry begin to grow spiritually and a lot of times physically. More people come. The Hebrew word used here, cosmos, refers to people estranged from God under the influence of sin and the devil. We just read the scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Now, not counting their trespasses against them, God does not use people's sin as a reason to withhold salvation or reconciliation, Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We are ambassadors, meaning representatives of Christ. Paul and his companions not only spoke on behalf of Christ, but their lives, namely their endurance of suffering, represented Christ's life and character. As Christ's representatives, they were changed with representing the message of God's plan of reconciliation to the world. See, when you teach it, when you preach it, what happens is you'll find yourself living it. The more you preach it, the more you teach it, the more you walk it, the more you become it. To be sin. This describes how God regarded Christ as sin for the sake of underserving sinners, Galatians 3 and 13. More specifically, Paul may be representing Christ as a substitute for sinful humanity, or he could be referring to Christ's identification as sin through his union with sinful humanity. Another possibility is that Paul is interpreting Christ's sacrifice in light of the Old Testament sacrificial concept. Leviticus chapter 4 and 24, Leviticus 5 and 12, Isaiah 53 and 10. The righteousness of God through Christ's death and resurrection. God demonstrates his righteousness by judging sin, yet showing mercy to sinners. Here Paul refers to the idea of Christians becoming the righteousness of God. He may mean that believers, as a result of God's justification, receive a right standing before God while Christ takes on their sin, Romans chapter 5 and 8. Alternatively, Paul could be describing God's righteous character, which believers receive and should live out in their lives. Romans chapter 1 and 17. This is what God wants us to release on today. There's so much. I put so many scriptures. I probably about 20-some scriptures in there. I go on all this stuff. Then we go into another sermon as we come back. Tomorrow, the Lord say the same. Tomorrow, I don't know. Tomorrow, I got to go to this college for my granddaughter. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you allow us to hear your voice again and experience your resting upon us and in the atmosphere
You say, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst. We thank you, Father God. Thank you for our nation. Thank you for those that reach out for salvation. Lord, we pray for healing of our nation, healing of the people. And Lord, for the leaders that you have called, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the ushers, the lay people, all that you call, oh God, to watch over your house until your return. We ask, God, that you rest your hand of mercy and grace upon them, upon us all. Father, we ask your forgiveness for all and anything that we have said, known or not known. Father, if we have spoken a word that offended someone, known or not known, we ask your forgiveness, O God. But Father, you know it's never our intention to hurt anyone. Our only objective is to glorify your name, edify your body, and terrify the devil. We ask, O God, that you continue to bring this world to a place of submission, a place of repentance, O God. God, touch the kings and the queens and the presidents and the prime ministers and all those in public authority, O God. Touch them, Lord. For if you don't touch them and show them the way, the devil will show them a way. And his way is damnation. Father, we ask you to touch the teachers. Touch the students. Oh, my Father, touch the doctors and the nurses, the EMTs, the police officers, the fire department. Lord, we are praying, oh God, that you touch our border, the border of the United States. Other nations are building up their borders, and we're the only ones that allow the borders to be torn down. Father, you show me that it's going to get so bad in the next 3 to 5 years that people are going to be extremely scared, because of the violence is going to escalate to a point where all of these people coming from all over the world, yes, they're looking for, some of them are looking for a better life, but there's some that are so violent that we have not experienced that kind of violence in our country and our nation yet. When a man can come to this country that's hoping to live a better life and kill all the people that he thought was against him, including a child, and shot a little baby in the head. You know these people are wicked people. But Father, you still have control. We ask, Father God, that you would anyone this morning, only the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if you don't know him, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, we say that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe on him shall not, that for whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. I'm just hearing this stuff and trying to bring this stuff straight out of my spirit. John 3:17 said, God sent his Son, send not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And John 3:19b said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Glory to God. The Bible said, then Peter said to them, let every one of you repent and be baptized into the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, let me say this in prayer. Mark 16 says that Jesus, and he said unto them, that's Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these things shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Father, we ask, O God, that you speak to us today. Speak to the hearts, touch the hearts of those that are still living the lifestyle of the world. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The Bible says that, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways, but the way. You must accept Christ as your only Savior. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. Not quick, but quickly. That means quicker than quick. If you can snap your finger, he'll be there. If you can wink your eye, he will be there. That's how fast he's coming. Hallelujah. But you have to prepare yourself. You have to be ready. You have to be living a life of repentance, a life that has been reconciled by God himself. A life that is surrendered, a life that have submitted and committed to God's lifestyle. You see, the world is showing us a way that the world wants us to go. It looks good. It may even taste good, but that don't mean that's good for us. And God is saying that we got to come up from among them and be separated and touch not the unclean thing, and he will receive us to himself. We'll be his sons and daughters. He'll be all God Almighty. You see, we have to come out. This is what he asks us to do. Come out from among them. Come out, come out, come out, come out. And be separated. Hallelujah. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you to receive you. And will be a father unto you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We got to come out. You want God to receive you? You want God to acknowledge you as sons and daughters? Come out from the world. Stop living the worldly lifestyle. Move by what the world say, what the world do. Don't let the world move you. Move the world. That's why he said, don't conform. Don't conform, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Once your mind is renewed, you can stand. You can fight then. You will have the victory if you allow your mind to be transformed. But a lot of times we don't want our mind to transform. We want to fit in. We are fighting hard, all doing everything to fit in. Because we want to be part of the Jeffersons. We want to be part of the Joneses. You know, we want to fit in. But God says you're in this world, but you're not of this world. Why are you still trying to fit in? There's no time to fit in. You need to stand out. Stand out. Let the world see that you belong to Christ. That's what it's all about. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take the moment just to think. Make sure that you're ready. Not saying that you're saying this because the preacher says so, but knowing your heart that you need a change. The life you're living right now is a life that leads to no way. One way in and no way out. Into hell. There's no back doors. There's only one way into hell. There's no windows. Understand what I'm saying. Only a lake of burning sulfur. Hallelujah. Damnation. Demons that just want to eat you over and over and over. Eating your flesh. Worms that just want to eat you up over and over and over. The cries of torment all day long, all night long. That's all you're living for. But if you hear in your spirit, man, and you know in your spirit, man, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you are the right place at the right time. And all you need to do is say, Lord Jesus, just like I'm saying, just go with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I have heard the word today, and I realize that I'm not prepared to lose this body that I'm in right now. And if I die now, I know that I'll be going to hell. because I don't know you as Lord and Savior, as a Redeemer, as the King. So today, Lord Jesus, I come to you with great expectation. I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and this world system, the way I was living my life. I denounce that now. And I'm asking, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. I believe that you were crucified on a cross at Calvary or the hill called the skull. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing it with my mouth. Jesus, I repent of my sin according to Acts 2:38. And I'm asking you to have mercy on me. Give me another chance, oh God, to get it right. Help me to walk in a lifestyle that pleases you. I know I can't do it on my own, so I need you to enter my heart now and take control. I no longer want to be the king of my life or queen of my life. I want you to take control, so I surrender to you now. And I'm committed spiritually to live the life that you have ordained for me to live. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross and giving your life up so that I would have life. Have mercy upon my soul. Lead me in that place of righteousness. In Jesus' name. When you said that prayer, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now, get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, where you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus that we teach and preach about, the apostles that we teach and preach, the doctrine that we preach every day, and ask Jesus to help you to understand, the Holy Ghost to help you understand. And then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, someone that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell them that, you know, you received the gift of salvation on a church line, but you want to be baptized. But before you get baptized, where you call the liquid grave, call up your family, your friends, your co-workers, and even your enemies, because you want people to witness this great occasion that you have encountered. Understand what I'm saying? And then, once you go down that water, in Jesus' name, you come up in his name, you're leaving all the world in that water, in that grave. But you're coming up in righteousness, and right standing with the Father through Jesus. Find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. Hear me? Get yourself involved in ministry and watch God work for you. Your life will never be the same. I'm not saying that you're not going to have problems. That's not what I'm saying, because I still get problems. I get people coming against me. I get people doing things to me. All type of stuff happens. But in the end, I am victorious through Christ Jesus, and you will be victorious too, through Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to say that we thank God for you, and we thank God that you're part of what we are doing here. Come on back and fellowship with us, okay? If you don't find a church, come back. We're here 7 days a week. Come back and fellowship with us. You hear me? God bless you. And God will keep you until we meet again. Father, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them. You love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their life. Stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child. Hallelujah. Even entering someone's house and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. We thank God for you. And we want you to have a blessed day and a safe day. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now go and have a great day. Blessed day. We are finished and we thank God for the word. We're going to relax and then we're going to go to the car wash and wash the truck. Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.